Is there anybody here who hasn't seen Home Alone? Yes. Yeah. There's. I'm surprised, you know, there's about one or two each service. Are there any Kevins here? Oh, that's tough enough. In case you've forgotten the plot for this movie, it was made a fair while ago. Here's a basic summary that I found on the net. Home Alone is the story of 8-year-old Kevin McAllister, who lives with his wealthy family in Chicago. For Christmas, the family is taking a holiday to Europe. As all the relatives show up, there's a lot of confusion in the house, and Kevin, being in that in-between age where he is neither cute nor mature, causes a ton of trouble. When things get out of control, he is sent to the attic bedroom to sleep, and in the midst of this tantrum, Kevin tells his mother, who punished him, that he hated her and that he wished he'd never have to see his family ever again. I wonder if any mothers here have ever heard that. Yeah. The next morning arrives, everyone wakes up late, and in all the hustle and bustle of trying to make it to the airport on time, Kevin is forgotten, asleep in the attic. And all the while, the parents believe Kevin is with them, or hanging out with his cousins. But Kevin finally wakes up to find that he's the only one in the house. And in his understanding, he comes to the conclusion that his wish has been granted. His family has disappeared, to his great delight. And so now he is home alone with the full run of the house. He eats all the junk food he wants. He doesn't have to answer to anyone. He can do whatever he wants, and nobody's there to tell him, no, you can't do that, nor is there anyone like his big brother to make fun of him. However, Kevin becomes frightened by his next door neighbour, old man Marley, who is rumoured to be a serial killer who murdered his family. And Kevin's life has added excitement when the two wet bandit crooks called Harry and Marv, who are robbing houses in the neighbourhood, target Kevin's house next. And in the movie, of course, we laugh hysterically as Kevin successfully sets up booby traps that will capture the bumbling crooks. But as the success of his antics comes to an end, he discovers he has a problem. Being home alone is not what he thought it would be. His freedom has brought on problems that are worse. He's lonely. And now he is sorry that he wished his family away and wants them back again. Kevin goes to church and watches a choir perform and meets old man Marley, who dispels the rumours about him by pointing out his granddaughter in the choir, whom he never gets to meet as he and his son are estranged. Kevin suggests that he should reconcile with his son. Well, when Harry and Marvin do break in, they eventually subdue Kevin, but Marley sneaks in and rescues Kevin by whacking them on the head with a snow shovel. And when Kevin's family return from Paris, he finally sees Marley reuniting with his son and his family. Well, that's a basic plot of Home Alone. I hope your Christmas didn't include any break-ins or children left behind. But perhaps it wasn't a child left behind, but you were. Were you lonely? And what's the connection between the movie and Jesus? But first, let me pray. God, we pray today for people who are feeling left behind and lonely. Through your Holy Spirit, give us insight and wisdom and hope that we might hear your word for us today, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, it's one thing to be home alone for a while, but if you're only 8 years old like Kevin, as we heard, the novelty soon wears off. But it's even tougher for anyone who is stuck at home for prolonged periods of time, especially if they don't want to be alone, whether you're 8 or 28, 58 or 88 years old. To be home alone all the time usually means that you are actually very lonely. Now, some time alone is necessary. We can get work done without interruption. We can think and reflect. We can meditate and pray and exercise and commune with nature, or we can have a sleep. But loneliness is different. It's that deep sadness of being isolated and separated from others and anxious about a lack of connection with others. Loneliness is a complex and usually unpleasant emotional response to isolation. And as such, loneliness can be felt even when we're surrounded by lots and lots of other people. So going to a Big Bash cricket match or to a big shopping mall like Marion may mean that there are thousands of people crowded around us, but unless we are connected to those nearby, unless we know them and they know us, we can feel just as lonely as if we've been dropped onto a deserted island. One of my first jobs was working for a farmer in the far west of South Australia, more than 150 kilometres west of Ceduna. After he collected me from the Nundroo Roadhouse, we left my bag at the house, and then he took me about another 10 kilometres or so further west, where he had a large bulk grain bin, and he said, "Bag off the oats in there." And if you know anything about that, that's not pleasant because oats are itchy and it was a hot, sweaty day. But then he left me. The farmer drove off to look at some sheep or cattle elsewhere. And I could hear the waves from the Great Australian Bight hitting the cliffs another dozen kilometres away. I could hear the wild budgies twittering away in the scrub. There were lots of flies buzzing around my head. But that was it. I was otherwise alone in the bush. Now, the farmer did come back a few hours later. But as an 18-year-old who was used to having plenty of people around, it was lonely, left there by myself, even though it was just for those few hours. Research has shown that people who feel lonely have more health problems. And there's some data to suggest that loneliness has the same impact on mortality as smoking 15 cigarettes a day, making it even more dangerous than obesity. Loneliness and social isolation are also associated with increased blood pressure, higher cholesterol levels, depression, dementia, and decreases in thinking ability. And psychologist Paul Wetham says that loneliness switches on the exact same stress response as being confronted by a real physical threat. The fact is, we are social creatures meant to belong. And that's why loneliness is a major issue for many people today, especially for people in their 20s, their mid-50s, and late 80s. But it can strike at any age. Young people talk about FOMO, not the music festival, but the fear of missing out, being rejected or ignored and not getting an invitation to the Christmas or New Year party for people can be quite devastating. It's no wonder people are lonely when that happens. Being single or single again can also be really hard. And there's no reason to suspect that the data are any different here in Australia than elsewhere in the world. So what's the difference between being home alone like Kevin, trying to outwit those bungling thieves while the rest of his family flew off to Paris, France, and being lonely somewhere here in Adelaide? The answer to that is not a lot. So what can we do? How do we deal with this growing problem of loneliness? And is there anything that helps us in the Bible? Well, actually, there is a story in Luke that's helpful. Listen to this from Luke 2, beginning at verse 41. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. And when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. And after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. Now, it wasn't just a few hours before Mary thought to look for Jesus. It was a whole day. And it was then about another day getting back to Jerusalem and 3 more days of searching before she found him in the temple. And so she must have been utterly frantic by that stage. And instead of relief and gratitude for his safety, she tears strips off him. She says, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." And Jesus says, "What's your problem?" Well, or rather, "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. The message here is, as important as family is, and we all know that family is important, there is something even more important than family. And that's having a relationship or connection with God. And that's my first point. We need a relationship with God. In the movie, Kevin made a connection with someone, old man Marley, the guy who saved him when the baddies attacked him. Kevin could have hidden himself away in the house and waited for his family to come back to Chicago and rescue him. But he didn't. He made plans. He got on with life. He correctly identified that old man Marley was afraid to reconnect with his son, afraid that he'd be rejected once more. You know, when we're feeling deep loneliness, there's no connection with others. There's no laughter. There's sometimes just this mask that we put on when we say, "I'm fine." But deep inside, deep within, we're feeling numb and angry and scared and utterly alone. And by the way, some of the loneliest people are spiritual leaders. Can be really hard for ministry leaders like Jonathan or Rod and others in pastoral ministry to not feel deep aloneness, especially when tough calls are in front of them, as they wrestle with leadership decisions and seek the will of God. And also think of Sue Ellis, who had the task of managing the business of the meeting of the Presbytery of South Australia yesterday. Big church meeting. Lots of contentious stuff happening. Wasn't an easy task for her. And if I can skip from Christmas to Easter, do you remember how Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, went as usual to the Mount of Olives to pray, saying, as it says in Luke 22, verse 42, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. It's pretty clear. That was a very, very difficult and lonely time of leadership for Jesus. But this also reminds me of Elijah in 1 Kings 19. After he'd killed all the prophets of Baal and then ran for his life into the desert, into the wilderness, afraid of what Jezebel, the queen at the time, might do to him. And he thought he was alone. But was he really? Was he really alone? For there on the wilderness mountain, there was a great and powerful wind and an earthquake and then a fire. But it wasn't in any of those that Elijah met God. It was in a gentle whisper, in a still, small voice, that Elijah heard God speak to him. Now, I find that incredibly encouraging because I'm ordinary. I'm not particularly wise or learned or famous. And yet when I hear that God spoke to Elijah in a gentle, soft voice, I have hope that God will also speak to me like that. And God does speak to us. God speaks to all of us like that, because God loves each of us, whether we're ordinary or famous, whether we're a brilliant sporting personality or an Australian Test cricketer, or a scared, lonely, fearful, normal person, like each of us here. God wants to have a relationship with us. And it's a connection with Jesus, with God, that gives us hope when we feel the overwhelming, scary rush of an oncoming avalanche of loneliness bearing down on us. For with God, we are never truly alone. And that's the second point. Remember Jesus? You know, that baby whose birth we got all excited about a dozen days ago? Jesus is here with us now. Jesus came to live and to love and to help us have a relationship with him as the divine and human sign of God's love for people who are hurting or afraid to reconnect with loved ones, for people who are home alone, and for people who are afraid of what this new year might bring. And we can try and run from our fears. We can even try and run from God. But the good news is that we are never truly alone, because by the power of the Holy Spirit, God is always present with us. Jesus is here with us now, and he wants a relationship with us. And yet, some of us still feel lonely. For some of us, Christmas has been an awful, hated reminder of just how lonely we are. Some of us may even have been home alone, like Kevin, as our families have gone away, and maybe even not bothered enough to think about us or to phone us even, let alone visit us. We might have been like old man Marley, afraid to reconnect with our family, afraid to reach out to that other person. And all these reminders about the presence of God just emphasize the loneliness we feel because of the absence of friends and family. And when we long for the loving touch of someone with skin on, what can we do? Well, here's the thing. It's the people who are not lonely who can make a difference to those who are, because everybody has a longing for belonging, as Rick Warren said. And if we get alongside one another, we can make a difference in their life. And so my third point is a challenge. Who can you connect with? Is there someone you can get alongside of this week, this year, and make a connection with them? Can you get to know them just because? Can you think of some ways you can connect, some places you can invite them to go to with you? Some times which will allow that longing for belonging for both of you to happen. A couple of months ago, in around Remembrance Day, my wife was looking at the advertiser and saw a photo of a couple of guys, old guys, in there sitting in the Plimpton RSL. And she said, "I know that guy. I used to work with him about a long time ago, a long time ago." And so she said, "I think I'm going to write to him." And he was a lovely guy. So she wrote a nice letter saying, "You were a lovely guy. Do you remember me? I remember you. It was great to see your photo and stuff." And she sent it off care of the Plimpton RSL. And while she didn't get an immediate response, eventually, after a few weeks, she got this letter or a phone call from someone who said, "Oh, look, sorry, it's so-and-so from the Plimpton RSL here. Keith doesn't go to this place, but I know someone who does, so I'll send the letter on to him." And another bit of time went by, and then Keith rang up. Now, Keith's 98. He's a widower. But as Karen and Keith conversed, it became clear that Keith was one of those people who was always connecting with others. He wasn't somebody who was sitting home alone. And it's a lesson for all of us that we too, at whatever age, can reach out and connect to other people. Do you remember how Jesus was found in the temple, discussing things, connecting with the leaders there? That's the sort of thing we can do too. We can invite someone to join our small group if we're in one. And if we're not, we can start a small group so we find one that does meet at a good time and place for us. Details for that are, of course, on the Seeds Church website. Shameless plug. In a church this size, it's not good that small groups happen to be closed with no space for new people. It's comfortable to always meet with the same people, but faith isn't always meant to be comfortable. As John Ortberg said, if you want to walk on water, you've got to step out of the boat. So you may need to step up and divide a small group and create room for new people to join both groups. That's a better, more Christ-like outward focus than remaining a static and comfortable and closed membership group. And those of you who are lonely can take a step towards connecting with others by joining one of those small groups, or find a choir or a sporting club or a CFS, parent group, youth group. Get to know your regular supermarket operator. We could even, heaven forbid, talk to our neighbour. So think about the way that even young Kevin was able to make a difference in the life of old man Marley by encouraging him to reconcile with his son and daughter, a granddaughter. How good was that? Now, Kevin didn't just hide, and he didn't just say, oh, poor me. Somehow Kevin knew that the church was a good place to be when he was alone. And that was where he found that old man Marley wasn't the serial killer he thought he was. He was just another scared, lonely person looking for a way to connect with others, just like Kevin. So this year, don't stay home alone. Don't allow others to stay home alone either. Connect to God and connect to other people. Something we can all do. And in the process, we'll help to overcome that curse of loneliness that is so devastating for so many people today. Let me say a prayer. God, today we thank you that because of the good news of your Son Jesus, we can have a relationship with you and with one another. So come, Holy Spirit, and empower us to reach out to someone this week and this year. So in our longing for belonging, we can not only meet you, but also meet someone else. And in this process, discover life in all its fullness, which is why Jesus came. We pray this in his name. And all God's people said, Amen.